Beaming out across the galaxy, this is where conspiracy on the wild side meets the perspective of a lifetime. This is the Free Zone with your host, Freeman.
Are you ready for a perfect storm? 'Cause once you're mine, there's no going back. The immortal words of Katy Perry. And Jamie and I are here to show you how that perfect storm is going to be manufactured. And we've been coming at you for years discussing the signs and symbolism of the occult orders that rule our planet. And we laid out some foundations and even some predictions as to what we would see in high-profile rituals that we see on such events as Katy Perry performing at the Super Bowl halftime. Yes, Jamie nailed it. She was the one. You can go through and listen to each of the people that have tried to come forward on the symbolism that they saw at the Super Bowl, but Jamie nailed it. She laid out exactly what we were going to see. And to be honest with you, we were completely shocked when you get to see this live, when it actually occurred, because we did not think that they would literally have the audacity to show you what we said they were going to show you. And we're going to get into that tonight. We're going to dig deep into Katy Perry and start looking into this situation. Exactly why we're seeing what we're seeing in these high-profile rituals. So, Jamie Hanshaw, welcome to the Free Zone.
Hi, thanks for having me back again.
Hey, you know, you're a top guest, Jamie. Let me just say that right off the bat. When you get out here, people listen. And I think it's because you hit these things on the head. You express them in such a perfect way. And, you nailed it. You nailed it.
Yeah, well, all summer and fall long, I've been kind of talking about Beyonce. We did a lot of shows and articles on her. And it's funny that I was talking about Katy Perry when Beyonce was on the Super Bowl.
Right.
And now I was talking about Beyonce when Katy Perry was in the Super Bowl. So my timing is a little off, I think, there. But anyways, what I've been illustrating is all of this Whore of Babylon symbolism that we see in Beyonce's career. And I had predicted that maybe that we would see Katy Perry on a cat-like beast at the Super Bowl. And I've been saying this around the house and maybe on a couple shows. I don't know if anybody out there has heard me say that on a show. I would like it if you told me, because I did a lot last month. But my prediction was strong. It was cat-like beast.
Go ahead and say that it's right there in our Katy Perry article. If you Google Katy Perry or go to freemantv.com, Katy Perry Super Bowl ritual, I put the 3-minute excerpt of Jamie's and I's prediction as we saw it coming for this scenario. So you can actually hear us say this from January 3rd.
Yeah. Well, you had said water goat.
Well, yeah, because we were focused on the beast. And I didn't. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you wanted to save this for later, but we were focused on the beast. But you called it. You said that we were going to see the Scarlet Woman riding a cat-like beast. And I updated that to say a diamond beast, mm-hmm. right? Which we both were correct in those scenarios. And then we equated it to the strength card in the Crowley Tarot, which we were actually incorrect on, because Crowley inverted that tarot and turned that card into lust. So, that shows you that we are just, digging our depths of information to bring us out. And then there it was. I mean,
it shows the scientific formula that we follow. We have this hypothesis that these specific societies are influencing everything. And, if we're correct, we're going to see A, B, C, and we see it. So.
Yeah. So you can listen to the recording yourself. We did go off into Cthulhu in the end, because a lot of this goes towards the strange water beasts of the OTO. But this current Super Bowl ritual happened to fall on a ritual date.
It did. And a very important one. Yeah, so February 1st is Imbolc, which is one of the four Celtic fire festivals that commemorates the changing of the goddess from crone to maiden and the transition from winter to spring. So then the next day you got February 2nd is Brigid's Day, who's the Celtic goddess of fertility who kept a sacred flame. So there you have one symbol on Katy Perry's dress, which we'll go through a ton more, but that's just the first one, okay?
And this was also known as Candlemas.
Yeah. Right, yeah, we'll get to that. So on Imbolc, actually, they would carry around a doll of Bridget from house to house, parade her around as a little shrine.
Right.
So that just made me think, here's this doll in everybody's household on the day, you know, in the ritual
aspect. While this is occurring.
Right. So according to several different things I looked at about Imbolc and Candlemas, it kept on popping up that it was definitely considered a night of sacrifice by fire.
Compared with Samhain.
Right. And then implying that a ritualistic human sacrifice should be performed as an offering to the gods and goddesses.
Wow.
So then you have in Catholicism, the day is Candlemas, which you said.
Right.
Which is where they would bring all the candles to the church to be blessed. So that kind of made me think of all those dancers holding up the glow bubbles.
Right.
Kind of like candle lights.
Sure.
Yeah, and moving around and making a pathway for the goddess to come through on the lion.
Right.
And the very first thing that they had made was actually the Pepsi logo, because this is the Pepsi Super Bowl halftime show, right?
Of course.
And Pepsi is poison.
Right.
I don't even know if we need to go into that, but if you're drinking Pepsi, then you need to stop right now.
Stop now. Yeah. And a pep just happens to be the satanic version in Egypt.
Mm-hmm. And so then I Googled satanic holidays because I wanted to kind of get what, you know, was up on the calendar. And this also came up for Candlemas. It said mass initiation of new members, animal or human sacrifice.
Wow.
Okay. And then the next thing that kind of popped up was an excerpt from a book called Ritual Abuse and Mind Control, The Manipulation of Attachment Needs, which is a compilation of essays by people who have survived ritual abuse and mind control experiments. And then under significant dates in the book, there's a whole paragraph about February 1st through 3rd. About the mysteries of Persephone and Groundhog's Day and the Earth Mother who sleeps underground. And I haven't read the book yet, but it did say that the name Groundhog was substituted for the satanic name for the holiday Imbolc, a night requiring human sacrifice.
Wow. Okay. And let's just remember that this whole goddess story always inevitably goes to hell. And Persephone is a classic example of this, of how the goddess goes to the underworld and is able to resurrect herself from hell. And this is a current constant theme with all the goddesses.
Yeah.
Now, this whole situation of Imbolc, now in the Celtic traditions, I believe it was, they would have the idea that there was the old hag who on Imbolc on February 1st would go out to collect firewood. And so all the people in the town would pray that the day would be dreary, so that the old hag did not have enough time to go pick a whole lot of wood, because the more wood she got, the more she got to keep winter around. Kind of like Disney and Frozen, right? So it just so happens that on Super Bowl Sunday, February 1st, it was a very dreary day, and everyone was commenting on the fog and the weather and how bad it was. But by the moment the game began, the skies completely cleared up, the weather became beautiful, and Phoenix was rising.
Right. And so this takes us to the place. So now we've got the time, the ritualistic date of Imbolc, Candlemas, and Bridget's Day. And the place was Phoenix, Arizona, which shows more rebirth imagery, because the phoenix is a symbol of the sun and of fire, which is sacred to the mystery schools. And as far as I can tell, the inner teachings of the Bavarian Illuminati involve fire worship and apotheosis, which is the idea of man into God, which is symbolized by the circumpunct or target logo. So if you're all looking for Illuminati logos, then, you know, it's time to put the eye in the pyramid away and start looking at some others, because the circumpunct and fire were basically their main symbols.
Okay, so let's make that clear. Mm-hmm. That the flame torch, what we see on the Statue of Liberty,
uh-huh,
and the target logo, or the point within a circle,
mm-hmm,
this is the Illuminati symbol.
Right.
That, not the eye in the pyramid.
Right.
And then the phoenix is absolutely wrapped up into this situation.
Right. So this is why you see George Washington in the center of the U.S. Capitol building as a god on high.
And right, the apotheosis.
The circumpunct, the rotunda is the circumpunct, and George Washington is in the center of it. And then they used to keep a sacred flame down in the basement until a certain time where they transitioned into little apartments underneath.
That's true.
Offices. But, yeah, if you want to learn more about early man and his relationship to fire worship, I suggest going back to the beginning of William Cooper's Mystery of Babylon series.
Great stuff.
And, yeah, he goes back to the very beginning. So then you've got the place Phoenix is actually on the 33rd degree latitude. So this is a line that crosses a lot of esoteric places on the planet. And also, you know, obviously 33 is a big number to Freemasons and mystery schools, right? And a couple of cities that it actually crosses is the Phoenician city of Tyre, Freemason Hiram Abiff was from, and also from Baghdad, Iraq, near where the Tower of Babel was.
Right.
So you've got this, you know, the time and the place. This is all ritualistic setup. Everything has to be perfect. And
okay, so you got people at home that are already practicing Candlemas. They've got their candles or their statuettes of Bridget. They're already in this mode, moving towards spring. And, of course, we saw that in the ritual as well with the sharks in the water. And we have this phoenix connection of the rising phoenix. Okay,
so let's talk first about the theme of alien invasion while we're talking about phoenix. Because I know the Phoenix Lights is one of your favorite stories, if you want to brush up on that.
Yeah, sure. It's really a big deal, honestly, to have that situation happen. A large V-shaped craft slowly moved over the city of Phoenix, and everyone saw it. And as we know, there is an agenda, and this is what, obviously, we've been discussing, and then the ritual aspects and the occult aspects of this agenda. But in some of the more plain aspects of the agenda, there is the social engineering. So as they create their new world order, they need certain events to occur to cause us to go towards a one world government. So we learned from Wernher von Braun and Carol Rosen, his secretary, that it would be the Red Scare, terrorism, asteroids, and then aliens. And obviously, right on cue, we've had each of these scares come through. Asteroids was the last one. And of course, we had Apophis, and it's coming to destroy all life in 2029 or 2036, or maybe not at all. And Apophis, of course, is the name for Satan in Akhenaten's religion, or the serpent deity of destruction. The Phoenix Lights themselves were amazing because what they showed on the news wasn't what people described. And I think I saw a craft that was very much like the Phoenix Lights, an anti-gravity V-shaped craft. So when we start to look at the situation, we would expect to see this time a lot of alien invasion programming. And I think the Super Bowl took care of that.
Yeah, so you have the Doritos commercial depicted the alien beaming different things into the stadium. So the craft took things out of the world and then beamed them into the stadium.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was also a Pepsi commercial with the alien invasion where the Pepsi machine is like a monolith on another planet. And and then they're like picking up the blue wig from the shop. And
yeah. Then I guess
I think I'm getting the Doritos and the Pepsi one mixed up because I just watched them both. But you'll have to look at them both. They're both about alien invasion.
Well, here's a curious note, though. Doritos has gone extraterrestrial, and their commercial shows the alien hearing the crunch of the Dorito through subspace, you know, and in his own galaxy. Now, the funny or interesting note on all of this is that Doritos did send a commercial to Ursa Major way back in the day, which you can get in my Aliens from Hell talk. And so we are actually broadcasting these commercials to extraterrestrial races and wondering what might happen, like when they sent the Day the Earth Stood Still to Alpha Centauri on December 1st, 2012. That's it. Yeah. Okay.
Right. And so this alien invasion theme goes right along with our scientific theorem of the OTO, or the Typhonian OTO, which is the Toto, because what their main focus is in channeling alien beings to Earth, right?
Absolutely. You know, that's a key ingredient here, folks, is all of the magic we've been looking into, or most of it that we express on this show, has to deal with communication with interdimensional or extraterrestrial beings.
Right. So then you've got the phoenix is also a symbol of transformation in the mystery schools, right?
Right.
And Katy Perry has a song called Who Am I Living For that kind of illustrates this theme of transition and asking why she's doing what she's doing. And some of the lyrics from the song with significant trigger words include, I can feel a phoenix inside of me, slowly slowing down my fear. I can see the heavens, but I hear the flames calling out my name. I can feel this light that's inside of me growing fast like a bolt of lightning. Now, I'm sure your brain is running crazy and you want to jump in. So, yeah, I pray for favor like Esther is another line of the song.
Yeah.
I know there will be sacrifice, but that's the price.
Wow. I had no idea. And to even call out Esther. Wow. You know, because this is one of the positions inside of the Eastern Star. My mom was Esther in the Eastern Star. And Madonna, of course, took the name Esther as her Kabbalistic name. So we're looking at, you know, she can see the heavens, but feels the flames calling out her name. I mean, she did admit, and this was what InfoWars brought out about Katy Perry's performance when they did their expose on it. The best they had was, well, Katy Perry admitted to selling her soul to the devil. When we start to look into this situation, we do see ritual sacrifice. We see that, you know, as you have mentioned so many times through Imbolc, the idea of human or animal sacrifice. And now you have that song saying, I know there will be sacrifice, but that's the price. And that very week of Imbolc of the Super Bowl, we had Bobby Christina have another incident in the bathtub. Now, this is Whitney Houston's daughter. And when we were witnessing the Grammys, we saw where Whitney Houston's daughter, Bobby Christina, had drowned in the bathtub the night before the Grammys and was on drugs of some sort and was rushed to the hospital, revived, and then stayed there for the night, brought back to the hotel to find that her mother, Whitney Houston, had just died. In the exact same way, in the exact same bathtub. And then we had that bizarre set of circumstances where the coroner was disallowed the ability to take Whitney's body out of the hotel, out of the bath. This, again, sent Bobby Christina, her daughter, into a meltdown, which then, and then she was institutionalized, brought to a medical facility. And they left Whitney Houston's body on the fourth floor for 4 hours while there was a party, a Grammys party. Whose party was that?
Clive Davis.
Clive Davis's party going on. And here's half the party all really heart sunk about the fact that Whitney Houston lay dead just a few floors above them. And the other half that didn't really seem to care. And this really, people talked about how it was hard to be in that room. So, you know, we see this as a form of magic ritual. There was no explanation other than magic ritual to leave Whitney Houston's body in there. She could have been removed prior to the party, but they did not allow this. And so we see this as an attempt to get energy off of that situation.
Yep.
And again, it was a ritual date which dealt with water, and I can't remember.
Whitney Houston's death?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it Imbolc again? I'm not even sure.
But it was a Grammy, around the Grammys, and it did have water.
I'll have to look that one up. Yeah. Okay, so that's how we start to look to this puzzle, because you're like, okay, I've got this weird thing. And then you have all the strange characters that are involved in all of this, like Cyril White. Now, he is a pathologist that has been involved in every one of these high-profile murders or deaths, from JFK all the way up to Michael Jackson. He was involved with Anna Nicole. He was involved with Michael, all of these different celebrity deaths. And so we keep finding this same pattern, same people, same situation. So what do we have with Katy Perry? I mean, what's her origin?
Yeah, well, let's go back to the beginning of Katy Perry. She was born Katherine Hudson, and she took her mom's maiden name for her stage name. And her parents were traveling Pentecostal preachers, so this is something she has in common with Aleister Crowley. And in Katie's family's what they call the BC days, meaning before they found Christ. Her father was, they call him a hippie ragamuffin who dealt acid for Timothy Leary, who is a follower of Aleister Crowley and actually says that he's a prophet of Crowley, right? Right. So Katy Perry's dad is dealing acid for Timothy Leary.
You got CIA connections.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. I had no idea.
And played the tambourine with Sly in the Family Stone.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. Cause you got to check out David McGowan's work and really understand how that, oh, this is crazy. I had no idea.
Okay. So one day her dad had a spiritual epiphany, kind of like who's that Mormon? Joseph Smith.
Oh yeah.
And one night where all the Bible stories played out before his eyes. So he had this like mystic experience and became a Christian.
Wow.
So then you got Katy's mother, who is described as a wild child of a wealthy Santa Barbara family who cut her off from marrying a Christian.
Wait, say that again?
So Katy's mom was a child of a wealthy Santa Barbara family.
Uh-huh.
And her parents cut her off for marrying a Christian.
Whoa. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I like it when I shock you.
Yeah.
So Katy's childhood was extremely strict, something else she has in common with Crowley. She said that, "I knew about hell from the moment I understood a sentence. I had felt boards with Satan and people gnashing their teeth."
Wow. Yeah, you know, that's something to the Christian programming that I didn't experience. And this whole fear of hell, this fear of the rapture, the fear and the guilt, I did not get any of that. And we're going to do our Christian show, but it just always trips me out to see these poor children having to think these thoughts. I mean, it's just right. Too much to me.
Yeah, she even told Vanity Fair in 2011 that, "I didn't have a childhood." And she says her mother never read her any books except the Bible, and that she wasn't allowed to say deviled eggs or dirt devil. So, you know, many Christian organizations and colleges are centers for monarch mind control, and this is a fact, such as Billy Graham, you know?
Okay, wait, I'm trying to understand something real quick. The husband that Katy Perry's mom, Katy Perry's dad,
yeah,
is the one that she got disowned for marrying?
Yeah.
Okay, so that puts another layer on it, because if we're looking at this guy's, you know, dealing acid for Timothy Leary, and for, you know, maybe possible CIA connections, and maybe Katy's parents or Katy's mother's parents knew more about what was going on. I mean, that just seems a...
lots of weird connections, right?
Yeah.
Because they're anti-Christian but wealthy, so that sounds like Satanism.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they disown the mom
for marrying this Christian.
Right. But then he's involved because he's in with Timothy Leary. And
yeah. And was he telling the parents, "Well, I had this vision," you know, that might have set him off. Okay. I just had to get that clear.
Okay. So like I said, lots of Christian organizations are rife with monarch mind control. Even last month, Bob Jones University here in Greenville made news because police are launching a major investigation going back 20 years into molestation and silencing of victims. And it goes a lot deeper than that.
Right.
But I want to keep going. But that's just proof that, you know, these Christian colleges have this perfect cover for this monarch mind control. Right.
Right.
And then speaking of school, I've noticed that almost every pop star reports that they were shunned at school for wanting to be a performer. And so thus begins the trauma of not being understood by people who are not in the industry and having to go to the special school and being even more segmented away from society.
Right.
So then, you know, by the time Katy was 13, her parents were taking her to Nashville, which is identified by Springmeyer as a major monarch programming center, to pursue a gospel singing career. So this is something you see like with Britney and Taylor, it's their parents that are totally in support of this and even going, you know, sacrificing, putting all their eggs in this basket, moving the family around and around just to follow this career around. Right.
Right.
But then, her dad, you know, after Katy Perry got big, her dad comes out publicly denouncing her, right, in sermons and stuff like that. And he even says, "I was at a concert of Katy's where there was 20,000 people. I'm watching this generation and they were dancing and jumping around. It was almost like church. I stood there and watched how much they were admiring Katie. I thought they're loving and worshiping the wrong thing. I couldn't help but weep and weep and weep. And this is from Pastor Keith Hudson.
Her father.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's going around preaching all these sermons. Yeah, he even told in one of his sermons that Katie's a devil child and showed footage of her negative influence on kids and her rebellious influence.
Wow.
So.
Yeah.
That's traumatic for Katie.
Yeah.
Right? First they pushed her
right
into this career, and then when the Christian label folded, she has to go somewhere else. But she said she wanted to be the next Amy Grant, right? But then, you know, this Christian thing didn't go anywhere. And then she told Rolling Stone, this is when she started meeting more, quote, gay people and Jewish people. So this is...
Welcome to Hollywood.
Yeah. Okay, so she kind of became a sponge for all that she had missed and her really sheltered, I put quotes, because who knows what happened. You know, this could all be a cover story, right?
Sure. But that sheltered child syndrome seems to be one of the best to bring
it's
out
part
the Satanist
of
in you.
The trauma-based mind control.
Yeah.
Right? So we start to see her backlash against her oppressive Christian upbringing, just like Aleister Crowley.
Yeah.
And she said in multiple interviews that she actually did sell herself to the devil, and she's not the only one. And so we're not going to go too far in this point because everybody knows it. Right. And even Bob Dylan, Eminem. Everybody, okay? Yeah. But it's becoming obvious now that this kind of thing is a contract of slavery. So you will get the fame and riches, but in the words of Britney Spears, you're going to have to work, bitch. Right?
Yeah.
And so Katie did. You know, her California Dreams tour was this, like, grueling whirlwind of shows. And her new Prismatic tour is just as intense. And this is a tactic of handlers to keep the victim exhausted and cut them off from loved ones, because the more tired they are, the more busy they are, the less their brain can integrate all their crazy memories,
yeah,
et cetera.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
So I actually believe this was kind of a factor in Russell Brand and Katie's divorce. First, to traumatize her and keep her locked in the mind control, while Russell Brand goes on to be some kind of spokesperson for the truth movement.
Right.
That's very weird to me.
I agree.
But, I mean, I want to believe that they were good for each other, but there was this one strange instance where Russell flashed a token to Katie that said obey on the red carpet, so that's
right.
Kind of creepy, right?
Right.
So, I watched her documentary, Part of Me, and then during her performance in Brazil, Katie is, like, shown weeping backstage. And her handlers attempt to cheer her up by giving her a gift from her trinkets box, which upsets her even more because it was a necklace from Russell that she thought she had lost. So she can still be seen crying heavily, like bending over, weeping and wailing, until the moment her platform rises her to the stage. And when she's got that peppermint dress on, when the peppermint boobs start to spin, she puts on her classic Katie smile for the crowd and, you know, transitions into the altar that performs.
Right.
Right.
Right. Performing is a really, really hard thing. It's, you know, you're not allowed to have your own personal emotions time or anything like that. But I guess a job's not that different.
Yeah. It's just as traumatic, yeah. And so, like, when she and Russell divorced, she went through this, her wide awake period, and that video is, like, full of classic monarch symbolism. You can find good exposés on that. It's got her bending over in a wheelchair, in a labyrinth, her child altar is in there. There's a whole thing that I wrote several years ago about Russell and Katie that you can get on freemantv.com that explains all this. Also Britney Spears and a couple more.
Right.
Okay. So the point is, she is still a slave to the devil, even though she thinks she's wide awake and broken free.
Yeah.
As we're finding out, you just don't do that. And then she did her recent interview for Rolling Stone in 2014. And the whole article opens with the line, Katy Perry isn't sure why she's crying. So there she's crying again. Okay, so they're putting up these pop star idols that are supposed to have everything and be the happiest person who's living the dream.
Right.
But in reality, it is not like that.
We rarely see that. Rarely.
Mm-hmm. Because, like I said, her tours are intense, and every show day, she says, from the moment I wake up, it's just prep for that night. It's like I'm a Kobe beef cow. I get acupuncture, massage, cupping, cranial, sacral work, etc., etc.
Right.
So all she's doing every day is spending recovering from the night before and getting ready to do it again.
Right.
So I thought this was kind of interesting. While at a show she did at Madison Square Garden, she passes a framed picture of Beyonce and gives it a I'm not worthy bow.
Hmm. All right. So Katy Perry, another member of the Church of Bay.
Yeah. Yeah. So this was actually the article where she says she wants to be part of the Illuminati.
Oh.
As if she's, you know, knows what that even means.
Right.
Well, we have to be clear, and we're going to go over that. But let me read you exactly what she said, and then we'll talk about it for a second.
Okay.
Okay. She said, if the Illuminati exists, I would like to be invited. I see all that shit, and I'm like, come on, let me in. I want to be in the club. I don't even know what the club is. It sounds crazy. These weird people on the internet that have nothing to do find, like, strange triangles in your hand motions. I guess you've kind of made it when they think you're in the Illuminati. But listen, I believe in aliens, so if people want to believe in the Illuminati, great.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's you know, it's right there, and... And the truth is that it is.
She's not in it. She's just a tool of it. You
right.
Know?
Like, and then, again, as we've covered, you use the term Illuminati is not quite correct.
Right.
And
but throws, it is kind of
But it
correct.
Is. I know. That's what makes it so confusing.
Right.
And seriously, we've been bringing you these signs and symbols so long that I really feel like it's my fault that everybody is saying these things, so I feel it's my duty to try and correct where I see the wrong thinking going on. But yeah, I would say the same thing about these celebrities, is that they're not meeting in some darkened room getting fulfilled on the agenda and then told to come out and perform to lead that agenda. They have no idea.
Right.
But there are members that are absolutely practicing the magic and then being lifted forward into the public eye. And we see this a lot.
I'm sure these are, you know, the handlers, the songwriters, for one. The like you got the Max Martins and the people who write all the pop songs.
Right.
And the dressers, for sure. Costume designers. I was talking about Jonas Åkerlund in the other show, how he's a Satanist and he's directing all these videos. So it's kind of like one degree away from the actual star.
Right. And what I've always said is that you don't have to create a Marilyn Manson. You can just, as they are, we're dealing with a culture. And so they lay out the necessary means for the culture to grow into what they want it to grow into. So you get a Marilyn Manson by creating the culture for a Marilyn Manson. And you raise up the people like Led Zeppelin, Tool, David Bowie, Rolling Stones, Beatles, all the ones that are practicing this OTO magic, because we know that they're all accolades of Crowley. So then you just need to rise those people to the surface.
Oh,
and, look, okay.
Speaking of Crowley, this just came in the news, is that James Franco was supposed to be in doing a Crowley ritual. Okay. I haven't read the article yet because it hasn't happened yet, but that just came across.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute, because that was another one you nailed as we started discussing this whole situation with the interview and the homosexual agenda. And now we have actually watched the interview and
goodness,
homosexual agenda or what?
Well, okay, just watch that scene where he's trying to put the little beeper up his butt.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Or even the scene with the dancing women. The two men are together in that scene.
Right. But the beeper up the butt thing was so weird, because he's like, I don't want to do it. And then he gets it in there, and as soon as he plugs it in, his heat signature changes, and there's this weird
high-pitched
noise and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like Tunnels of Typhon stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Tunnels of Typhon. And this deals in with some with the Royal Arch degree of Freemasonry and the belief that anal sex is a key ingredient to opening these tunnels of Typhon, or the portals to the abyss, to this lord of the abyss, the beast, as we've been discussing. So, yeah, there it was in the interview. We could clearly see the homosexual agenda going on. And we're going to have to do a show on the homosexual agenda sometime so that people understand what we're talking about.
Okay.
But we're talking about culture creation, and Jamie's book is Weird Stuff, Operation Culture Creation. And it lays out the foundations of all of this so that you can easily express it to your friends and family, full with full color pictures. It's an amazing work. And as you can see, Jamie knows what she's talking about. So, all right, so now we've just kind of barraged the whole Illuminati situation. Katy Perry saying, yeah, I would join if I could, if I knew who you were. And when we're looking at that, it's really the New World Order, and it's the agenda that's it's fulfilling.
Well, also, a lot of these people that bring you information aren't very good at pointing out exactly who they are.
That's true. You know, you
so
just
how would she know anyways, yeah. You know, if she was just watching a YouTube about it?
People just say, oh, there's the eye, and, yeah. And it's Illuminati. But yet, here you are, you're saying, look at this cat-like beast that is the Whore of Babylon that reflects the rituals of Aleister Crowley. You laid out Hubbard and Parsons and described exactly what we were going to see in the Katy Perry ritual before it happened. Mm-hmm. So who's on the ball here, Jamie? You.
Well, yeah, if I just believed in myself a little more, I would have made a bigger deal about her riding a cat-like beast. But I'm going to spend the whole member section hour or two describing it, why I said that.
Absolutely. And again, you can hear it, you know, you can hear it for yourself on the Katy Perry Super Bowl ritual article.
Yep.
All right.
So around the same time that she's telling Rolling Stone she wants to be in the Illuminati, she's posing on the cover of V magazine with Madonna, and their tagline was "On the Power of Pop." So I just pulled up this picture for Freeman. What do you think about her and Madonna on this cover?
Oh, God. I mean, you know, guys, you should see this. And we're talking about a black and a white, right? So we got the dichotomy there. But then this V is just erupting from Madonna's vagina. And they're standing in there giving curious, angry poses. Yeah.
I just can't believe this V magazine, and it's right, like...
Yeah, it might as well just be Vagina Magazine, and they might as well just focus in on Madonna's vagina instead of even having their faces in there.
Yeah. So this is the High Priestess, obviously. Madonna's still in the upper background echelons of it all.
Right.
And then Katy Perry rising up behind her.
Yeah.
Right.
And again, she was Esther. And,
right.
Something you said that made me want to chime in on another ritual, but we'll have to come back.
Okay. Can we keep going?
Yeah.
Okay. So pretty much as soon as Katy Perry says she wants to be in the Illuminati, she's slated for the biggest performance of the year. And then she tells Entertainment Tonight about the Super Bowl initiation. She says, I think when the universe gives you these things, it's just asking if you're ready for the next level, and I'm getting ready.
Yeah, she knows.
And I think a lot of all of this really is psychological programming, because according to her backstory, she has a lot of red flags of a bloodline monarch, right? So it's not like
she's
rising the ranks from talent.
Well, that's a key ingredient as well when we're looking at these things. It is not talent that puts people in front of us.
So the first lie is that she has a choice about anything anymore. And the second thing I wanted to point out is that she mentions weird people with nothing to do seeing triangle hand signs. And so if you're getting info from people about these Illuminati/satanic phenomenon, and they don't mention the CIA, they don't mention Project Monarch, they don't mention military-industrial complex, they don't mention the war machine, you know, all these things mixed together, then you're just not getting the whole truth.
Yeah. If they're coming to you and saying, this is satanic, and leaving it at that, then they don't know. They don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah. Okay, so, she thinks she's not in it yet. That's just the funniest thing, right? But then there was this article I came across by a member of the OTO named Frater Lux Ad Mundi, and that was a rebuttal to another article about her 2014 Grammy performance. So you remember this, the whole witch performance? Okay, that begins with a sinister voice that says, she cast spells from crystal balls, invoking spirits, she put me in a trance. So there's your mind control verbiage right there, trance, invoking, you know, spells. even what Kathy O'Brien's book, Transformation of America.
Yeah, right.
So, sure. And then you got Katie emerging from the crystal ball and uses witches, brooms as stripper poles.
Well, of course.
Right. Well, as far as I can tell, this makes a lot of sense because from what I've read, part of witchcraft is astral projection.
Yeah.
Not that that's bad, just a tool, right? But they use a phallus or tool like a broom to bring them to climax so they can travel. And the best example of this is in popular culture is a show called Salem.
Mm-hmm.
Who Marilyn Manson does the music for,
right?
Where they use the broom as the phallus tool to go to the astral world and meet the horned god. So you can, I mean, I was like, wow, that is right, straight from what I've read in dark, sinister black magic books, right?
Right, right. Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about what Anton LaVey has to say about the satanic witch.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there's misconceptions in what a satanic witch would look like.
Okay, well, this would be like modern Satanism, so past the 60s. So it's more about psychology rather than casting spells and using sexuality as a tool. And there's a whole book that he wrote called The Satanic Witch, and I do a whole chapter on this in Weird Stuff Part 2 called Project Crazy Bitch about, you know, your typical consumer princess is the perfect satanic witch as described by Anton LaVey in his book, The Satanic Witch.
Keep that in mind, folks, because that's the truth of it. We live in a satanic reality and don't even realize it. And the deeper you go into satanic belief systems, the more you'll understand what we're dealing with. But what we're looking at now, as we expose the Katy Perry Illuminati Super Bowl spectacular, is the ideas that are related into the occult, the ideas that go deeper into the ideas of dark psychology and the magic that is altering our consciousness. And we had related this to the Whore of Babylon. And this is not some Christian fanatic statement. We are utilizing their very own terms that they would call her the Whore of Abomination. And we're going to lay this out for you in the second hour as we get deeper into the OTO and
the Toto. Yeah. So in the Grammy performance, the witch won, right?
Uh-huh.
She was also wearing a dress that had a lit up red cross on it.
Oh, that's right. Like a Templar cross.
Yeah. And so, which led some people to think that she's in the OTO. And that's why this member Frauder Lux Mundi wrote this article saying she's not.
Okay.
But that it would totally make sense because the OTO is the Order of the Eastern Templars.
Exactly.
And their symbol is the Red Cross.
And if you guys don't believe that they're out there and that this is all very popular, if you go to freemantv.com to our Katy Perry Super Bowl ritual article, the OTO actually has ads on my page through Google Ads. Says, become a living god. Join the OTO. I have screen caps of this. So, you know, they're having advertisements on my own website.
And what's the symbol of becoming a living god?
The circumpunct.
Yes.
Yes, the point within a circle.
Let's get it right, because I don't want us to be made fun of anymore.
That's true. All you these know? People saying the eye, and you're so wrong, guys, and I'm sorry. Now, curiously, the eye itself in Tarot is related to the devil. And so in that way, if you were expressing it and pulling out your devil card out of the Tarot and saying, look, I is the devil card,
uh-huh,
then you could relate it. But if you're trying to say that it's Illuminati, look at the eye, then you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, let's finish up this point, and then since we have a little bit of extra time, I'm going to give you guys a secret from my book.
Oh,
okay?
Nice.
Yeah. So, okay, here's a point I want to make. People are taking the dark side of many different systems of magic to create something new and more terrible, right? They're taking Babylonian mystery tradition, they're taking OTO, Typhonic OTO, they're taking the dark side of the Tree of Life called the Cleafot, and they're mixing it all up in this new soup and putting it right there on television for everyone to see. So, Katy Perry's not probably initiated into the, you know, official OTO, but anybody can go read the rites and rituals and use them, right?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I mean, any form of magic out there, then in this modern age, the methodology of magic is there for all of us to study. This is something that's brand new for our age. And yeah, there's a conspiracy to the fact that they have brought back all of these occult works. And I mean, they just litter your bookstores with works of Aleister Crowley, and the Golden Dawn are currently reprinting their entire magical works. And so you can get that cheaper now. I have one of the more expensive copies. And then even these Typhonian Order books that we're discussing from Kenneth Grant, the Typhonian Trilogy, have just been re-released as well. So for the first time in humanity's time here on planet Earth, these secrets are open to everyone. And now
so
we can
I got something that'll turn this little eye in the pyramid business on its side. And I always like to mix things up because, you know, we can always search further and we can always learn more and try and get it right and not stop where we think we know everything, right? So this is what I have from Weird Stuff Part 2 about the eye in the pyramid. So it's not really strictly an Illuminati symbol. So when you look back in history, it seems like the all-seeing eye is used a lot and for the same purpose over and over again. So in Egypt, it was the Eye of Horus and part of the whole balanced mystery school of the left eye and the right eye, right? Mm-hmm. And then in alchemy and Freemasonry, it's a symbol for the grand architect of the universe. And then in Christian art, it is called the Eye of Providence.
Right.
So lots of different people are using this to mean lots of different things, right? And then you have the Satanists using it for their pyramid structure of power,
right?
Obviously, but it's not strictly this.
Right.
And here is a weird story that will make you go, hmm, okay? So in 1984, a large cache of artifacts was discovered underground in the mountains of Ecuador. And the guy who was leading this was called Elias Sotomayor, if you want to look this story up. And among these things that they found in this pyramid in Ecuador was a small stone pyramid, 24 centimeters tall, with 13 steps, just like the dollar bill, and an eye at the top. And so then other things they found in this dig were things that were depicted to... Like, they have to use the pyramid with this and have the pyramid in their lap, and then this goes here, and then you can do...
Huh, so it was like a magical tool.
Yeah, it was.
Huh.
Okay, so the natural color of the artifact is light green and gray, but if you shine ultraviolet light on it, the eye glows bright blue and yellow, right? And it's really kind of cool, the picture of it. It's super old, but you can see all the steps and the eye at the top and the eye in the pyramid. And so on its base, there's this gold inlay of the constellation Orion.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. And then it has these four weird characters on the by the stars on the base. And it's in this language that's kind of an unknown script. But the president of the German Linguistics Association calls it pre-Sanskrit. So, like, maybe the oldest kind of writing in the world.
Right.
And the four little characters that are on the bottom of this pyramid with the eye on it, they translate into the message, the son of the creator comes.
The son of the creator comes.
So what are you supposed to do with that? Because that is
Jesus.
Jesus.
All right.
Or, you know, the son of the creator. I mean, it could be Horus.
Right.
But it's pre-Horus.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And also...
Marduk.
Maybe. But that just gives it a whole weird...
Another layer to it, because now you're looking at a resurrected God or the Creator's Son coming, and everybody's saying that it's all satanic. We really should do a show on Nicholas Roerich and the how the eye in the pyramid appeared on the dollar bill. If you go to freemantv.com, we do have a video called The Man Behind the Eye in the Pyramid. And you can watch, you can see all the artwork of the man who was responsible for putting the pyramid on the dollar bill. And then you can understand more and more why that was there and what put it there. So, yeah, we'll work on that one. Well, this has been an amazing story so far, Jamie. We're looking at Katy Perry's Illuminati Super Bowl Spectacular. And we've already laid out so much of the ritual aspects that go along to set the stage for this ritual that is that we just witnessed and now we're going to expose. And
yeah, I want to say a special thanks to Isaac Weishaupt at IlluminatiWatcher.com for mentioning us and putting us in there. And I really enjoyed your article and got some things about it, the pre-Super Bowl and also the post-Super Bowl. I think you did a really superb job on that.
All right. Way to go, Isaac.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much. And thank you all for tuning in. We're going to get deeper and deeper into this story. So please subscribe to get more at freemantv.com and help us move out into the future.
Yeah, please join us in the second hour where we go over the Super Bowl performance point by point. And we got a jam-packed expose of the actual everything in the performance. We've got the lion, the sphinx, the checkerboard, and Baphomet, fire and ice, Saturn, Lenny Kravitz, Hunger Games, Inanna, Ishtar, Isis, and the Blazing Star. So if any of those things interest you, please subscribe to Queen TV because I save all the best for the second part.
All right. So we'll see you on the other side.